Good morning, everybody. Welcome you all to service again. It's our Sunday service this morning, and we've been on a series looking at the power at work within the believer. Today is the final Sunday in that series. But in the previous two Sundays, Pastor Ayo Adeoye has spoken to us on the topic power at work. We've looked at three key scriptures or verses of scripture, John chapter 1 and verse 12, where it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God." Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses." And then there's also Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. And the point in these last 2 weeks has been that God gives extraordinary power to us believers through the working of the Holy Spirit in us to meet with the extraordinary challenges of being a witness to our God. And if we look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 closely, we'll recognize that this witness that the Lord expects of us is an expanding witness. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, our Lord said to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So starting with Jerusalem and then an expanding circle to Judea and then in Samaria and then eventually unto the uttermost part of the earth. So it means what the Lord actually expects of us is an expanding witness. And he has given us this extraordinary power to us through the working of the Holy Spirit to meet with the challenges of an ever-expanding testimony of our Lord. My task this morning, my job, is to share with us briefly on how we can get to demonstrate this power at work within us. And so you could title it "Demonstrating the Power at Work Within." Or if you would like, you can use the term "Walking in the Power at Work Within." But really, what I want us to explore this morning is to look at the things that are necessary and critical to us to walk in the fullness or live in the fullness of this experience that Pastor Ayo has taught us about. I believe that there are a few critical things that are imperative for this experience to occur or to happen in our lives. If you cast your mind back to much earlier in the series on faith at the start of the year, I made a statement and I said that many of the realities of the new life that we have received in Christ may not be automatically experienced in their fullness by believers. And the power at work within us is one of such things. Many believers live ordinary lives, very ordinary lives, without any hint, jot or idea of any divine influence in their lives. And all those descriptions that Pastor Ayo was giving in the last 2 weeks of an extraordinary dynamic power at work within the believer would sound very, very foreign to them. Some others have very epileptic experiences of this reality. And you see, whether epileptic or whether never even experienced at all, I've identified four things from scripture that I see are very necessary and very critical for us to consistently demonstrate or walk or live in the fullness of the power that is already at work within us. And so this morning, let us go on this journey. Mighty God, we thank you, we bless you. We give you glory and we give you praise. We're so thankful for another time in your word. And Lord, at this time, we open up our hearts to you. We say, Lord, speak to us. We are open to the instruction of your spirit. And we say, by your word, you will convict, convince, instruct us. And I pray that for every single person who listens to this sermon, thank you, Father, because there's light in our hearts born by the power of your word. And thank you, God, because we will go forth with a commitment to live by the dictates and by the directions that we'll receive. We bless you and we give you glory, oh God. Thank you, Father, for joy, gladness that we'll experience as we put these things to practice. As we begin to experience the fullness of your power in our lives, we give you praise, we worship you. Hallelujah. All right, so number one, four things. Number one, if you have a jotter, you can just note it down. Number one, be immersed in the word of God. Be immersed in the word of God. There are many verses of scripture that show us and describe to us the innate power in the word of God. The innate power in the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we find the Lord speaking to the prophet Jeremiah and saying to him, Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Talking about the power, the inherent power in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 also makes good reading at this point. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Again, speaking about the power of the word. Jesus speaking to the people in John chapter 6. And verse 63, he also had something very interesting to say to them. He said to them, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6? And let me show you something. This is something we had looked at when we took a Bible study on the book of Ephesians, especially at this point when we're looking at spiritual warfare. In verse 17, we find this description that the Apostle Paul gives. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This lets us know that the offensive weapon that we have as believers is the word of God. Now, all these verses of scripture that we've looked at, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, John chapter 6 and verse 63, Ephesians 6 and verse 17, all these scriptures point us to the power inherent in the word of God. Now, what's the link between the power inherent in the word of God and us demonstrating or living in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within us? See, the link is that through the word of God, we become aware of the power of the Holy Spirit and the reality of the new life that we have received. Without being immersed in the word, it is difficult for us to come to terms or to even acknowledge or see or know the things that God has made available for us. Philemon and verse 6. We'll read that verse also together. Philemon and verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. It's only one chapter. And it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It says the communication of our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, it's only as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God that we can come to the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in us. And so without the influence of the Word of God on the heart of the believer, it is difficult, in fact, nearly impossible for that believer to live in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, child of God, do you want to experience the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit? Then immerse yourself in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Spend time reading, studying, meditating on the Word of God. It is absolutely important, absolutely vital, absolutely critical for your effectiveness as a believer. Without the influence of the Word of God, we remain in ignorance. Without the effect of the Word of God, we remain in darkness. Even though we've received the light of the Lord in salvation, but without immersing ourselves in the Word, these things look to be too far off and too far away. And it's as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God and deep ourselves in the Word, and we're soaked in the Word, that we begin to realize the power and the ability that the Lord has put in us. Let me go on quickly. Number two. So number one, I said be immersed in the Word. Number two, believe the Word. Believe the Word. Believe the Word. In fact, to be more specific, believe that God has given you extraordinary power. Believe that He intends to use you for His glory, because that's what the Word of God says. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. An interesting verse of scripture. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. This is what Paul said to the Galatians. He says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and doeth and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" See, it's very, very clear. The Galatians obviously had an ongoing experience of the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, they were experiencing miracles. And Paul specifically attributed it to the hearing of faith. These believers in Galatia had a visible activity of the Holy Spirit amongst them. And scripture says it was because of faith. It was because of faith. So what am I saying? We must not only immerse ourselves in the Word, but we must actually go ahead to believe what the Word of God says. We must believe what the Word of God says. We must believe what the Word of God says. Look at Romans chapter 15 as well. Romans chapter 15. And verse 13. Romans 15, 13. Paul says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, in other words, believing or faith is critical in experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit that would produce joy and peace. I'll say that again. Believing or faith is critical in experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit producing joy and faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul commending the Thessalonians, telling them that they receive the word of God, not as the words of men, but as the words of God that work effectively in those who believe. Working effectively in those who believe. So in as much as the word of God is powerful on its own, has inherent power, and even causes us to recognize and see the reality of the power that we have in Christ Jesus, or the power that is at work within us, without the critical component of faith or believing in what the word of God says, it may still be ineffectual in our experience. In Hebrews chapter 3, there's a description that we see of the experience of the Israelites as they left Egypt to go into the promised land. And it is sad, a very, very sad commentary. In Hebrews 3 and verse 19, what the scripture says is that some of them could not enter the promised land because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. If we go to the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. In fact, what it says is that the word was preached to them, but it did not profit them because it was not mixed in with faith in them that heard it. The critical role of faith. They had a promise of entering the promised land, and yet they did not enter because they had no faith. It's not a similar experience with us. Ours is the fact that we have actually entered the promised land. However, we may not experience the fullness of being in the promised land except we engage by faith. Except we engage by faith. I'll move on very quickly. So I've said number one, be immersed in the word. Number two, not only be immersed in the word, not only should we be immersed in the word of God, but also believe what the word of God says. Believe what the word of God says. Number three, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. In the book of Acts, we find descriptions of the believers being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or in some cases, we find people mentioned as being full of the Holy Spirit. An example, Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Again, Stephen in Acts chapter 7 described as being full of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's the whole congregation. See, and the believers were filled with the Spirit. Each time those terms were used, the fullness of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, it denotes an overwhelming influence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those people that was usually visible by a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And at least in one place, we find that this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is linked with prayer. Look at the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I said, number three, be devoted to prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, it's Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. From verse 14. This is Paul praying. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. I want you to notice something. In Ephesians 3, from verse 14, Paul isn't just mouthing out words. Paul is actually praying for the Ephesian church. He prays for them to be strengthened through the Spirit, to be filled with all the fullness of God. It means, therefore, that Paul believed that believers could experience this fullness of God through prayer. Jude and verse 20 says, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That description of building up yourself is like laying up brick after brick, building a monument and an edifice within us. And if we will demonstrate and walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, prayer is non-negotiable. We must be devoted to prayer. As people would normally say, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. You see, not powerless in the sense that you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's a difficulty to walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit when you are prayerless. Number four. Not only must we be immersed in the Word of God, not only must we believe what the Word of God says, not only must we be devoted to prayer, number four, we must be obedient to God. We must be obedient to God. This obedience to God would either be instructions in the Word of God or specific promptings of the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And this is a principle that we need to learn in our walk with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. See, even if our Lord Jesus Christ was not exempted from the life of obedience to the Father, many of us treat the word of the Lord like advice that we may choose to obey or not to obey. But you see, we need to come to the point where we recognize that the word of the Lord is to be obeyed, to be obeyed. In John chapter 2 specifically, John chapter 2, we see the story of the miracle at the marriage feast in Cana. And that story shows us the critical role of the place of obedience in the outworking of God's power. If you remember the story well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to Jesus and she told him, oh, the wine is finished. And Jesus made it appear like he wasn't going to do anything. But you know something? What Bible says to us in John chapter 2 and verse 5, is that Mary went and said it to the servants. She said to them, whatsoever, John 2 and verse 5, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And that was very, very important in the whole sequence of events Obedience is very critical. Obedience is very critical. During our midweek Bible study, this past Wednesday, which was really an introductory session on the topic of the manifestation of the Spirit, we gave examples of some experience recorded in the book of Acts. See, if we think back to those specific events, we will also see how vital obedience is. Think about Acts chapter 9, the experience that Ananias had with Paul. What if Ananias had been disobedient to what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do? We would not have had that occurrence of the manifestation of supernatural power. How Paul's eyes were miraculously and supernaturally healed and opened. But we find it occurred because Ananias obeyed. The next chapter, Acts chapter 10, we find the story of Peter and Cornelius. What if Peter had disobeyed what the Lord was leading him to do? Would not have had such a wonderful experience of people coming to faith, and not only that, receiving the Holy Ghost. Obedience was very, very critical. In my life, I've had several experiences in my walk with the Lord where obedience to His direction led to extraordinary demonstration of His power. In fact, in some cases, I didn't feel any special move was going to occur. I remember way back one time in the university, it was a breakfast meeting, and we had invited different people. And right there during the meeting, I just said, see, if you're ill here, you know, just place your hands on where you have an illness, and we'll just pray. And I said a simple prayer. I think it was that week or the next week, I got a note that was sent to me by a roommate of one of the members of our fellowship. And she went on and on saying, oh, she thanks God for my life, how she had one intractable pain, and that after that prayer, that pain went away. All because I simply obeyed what the Word of God says. I did not feel anything special on that day. I did not feel anything, you know, the power of the Lord moving upon me in a special way. No, I simply obeyed what the Word of God says, and I said a prayer for the sick. I've had two experiences in my place of work where people's cars had problems. In fact, those occurrences seemed awkward. They were about to leave, and their cars did not start. And I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to simply place my hands on their cars. I did, and the car started. It happened for the first person. On another day, it was somebody else. And as she was about to leave, her car did not start, and they were looking for a mechanic. And they told me, and I went out there, and I had the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Place your hand on the car. I did, and the car started, and both of them, different occurrences, they were surprised. And in fact, I think that was what confirmed to them individually that truly I was a man of God. But you see, the problem sometimes is that we are too often excessively self-conscious. We're waiting for perfect situations. We're waiting for an ideal atmosphere. And I found that when we do this, we slip into disobedience. And repeated acts of disobedience dull our sensitivity and blunt our effectiveness in walking in the divine power that's been made available to us. We need to simply just obey what the Word of God says. We just simply obey what the Spirit is leading us to do. And we see the power of God coming forth in fullness, manifested before our very eyes. See, each of these four critical points will do the same thing for us when we do not immerse ourselves in the Word, when we do not believe what the Word of God says, when we do not devote ourselves to prayer, and when we do not obey the Word of the Lord. We find ourselves flagging. If I may use the imagery of liquid, I really don't like it, but I have to. If you think of liquid flowing through a container, these four things we've talked about: immersing ourselves in the Word, believing the Word, being devoted to prayer, and being obedient to the Word. These four things help to ensure that the channels remain open or patent. When we relent in any of them, the channels are blocked and it almost begins to seem as if we have no power available to us. It almost begins to seem like the power of the Holy Spirit is no longer there. Meanwhile, what we have done is that we have dulled our sensitivity and we have blunted our effectiveness in walking in that divine power. I'll close with this scripture from Colossians chapter 1. It is my prayer that we all will have the same experience as Paul did. In Colossians 1 and verse 29, he said, "Whereunto I strive also, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." And so I pray for all of us, for each of us, that this will be our experience. As we come into the fullness, the full awareness of a mighty inner working of God, working in us mightily. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you glory. Hallelujah.